Welcome back to Reflections. Your host Jorge Gonzalez, and we're talking about the Balogun, being reinstated to play, and what happened. One of the other aspects of the Balogun saga was that he reacted tremendously well, and basically the team and the coaches reacted tremendously well. And in fact, Balogun mentioned after the game that these things happen, and you have to take these things with a grain of salt, and that this was good examples for youth, and he wanted to be a good example, and all. So after this, you know, story, then having it him reinstated, I think it hurt the morale. I think the U.S. Without Balogun, without that thing, would have done quite a bit better. The games have been tremendous. Looks like Europe is dominating. The only one that has lost, I mean, Germany lost against Paraguay, but that was early on, and of course Portugal lost, but that was against Spain, and Argentina, Egypt, and so Argentina right now is in Morocco are the only two, non-Europeans, I believe going into the next round. Wednesday was kind of a withdrawal symptoms because there's no game after getting used to four games or two games to not have a soccer match. They're all exciting. And the most exciting one, especially for us who are rooting for Argentina, was Argentina, game. And against Egypt, they were 2-0 behind, and it looked pretty bad. And in fact, there was one goal that was set aside, and it was almost and it was almost the same kind of play took place with the goal that that Argentina had. That could have been set aside. So as again, it's subjective. But anyway, Argentina came back with two beautiful goals, and that one that was kind of taken away and stolen, and ended up in a goal. So the Argentina's in one last year. They're trying to repeat. That hasn't happened. I think it's only happened once. And so let's see what happened. Europeans have done really well. In the sporting world, there's one of these articles, one of these people that come through. Her name is Inés Méndez Laminau, Larminau, Larminaux. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but Inés is a 14-year-old. She says, about 4 years ago, somebody, Javier Figueroa Montero, said, "You have great promise, and you can become a world champion." For 4 years, she's been training, and in the class. This was in Morocco, the sailor, and she came in six overall with the male and female, and number one in the women's, and this is the Optimus class, so it's up to 15 years, and she's 14 years old, so she came from way behind, world championship in that particular class. So kudos again, like the bilingual, it's good news for Puerto Rico. Talking about Trump, and following the rules and the law of order, et cetera, and we'll get on the terms of the comfort zone, et cetera. But an article came out, and they're kind of put together almost the same. Let me see. I think it was the same day. No, one's the 7th and the 8th. One the one on the 7th, Trump granted 11 clemencies, and most of them had to do with persons who had eluded, who had fixed, changed their cars so as to eliminate the environmental, you know, emissions, control systems in the car. And he says, you know, Trump says that they were in prison for fixing their cars. I'm giving them all, you know, liberty right now. Not a good sign, especially for us who believe in trying to reduce contamination as much as possible, and all. In a kind of companion article, this is in the opinion section on the 8th of July in El Nuevo Día by Angel Rosa, and he does the analysis of the resignation of the Attorney General for the Puerto Rico, Muldrow, who resigned, and you know, and mentions how difficult things have become, and goes into the case of Herrera and Wanda Vasquez, where this the Herrera family donated $4 million to the political committee, the Trump political committee, and he says, y poco después, very shortly thereafter, Washington ordered that the guilty plea be reduced and eliminated, and in terms of misdemeanor, and then shortly thereafter, the guilty plea for misdemeanor was pardoned, clemencia. So, you know, I tell you, I have to take a deep breath when you see these kinds of things. That kind of, you know, the offshoot of the sporting world, and how these kinds of things get be subtle. It is a trying area when the rules are difficult, and sometimes are changed in stream, and what the consequences have on the sport. Last week, I very briefly went into the 10-year anniversary of the Promesa, you know, a couple of minutes towards the end, and a few people have, you know, wrote me, says they would have wanted me to spend more time on it, and I just got into Trump, and I probably shouldn't have, but I try to sort of keep away from politics as much as possible, But you know, something like this is you know, 10-year anniversary. I put together, I mean, it's about an inch, you know, of paper of articles that came out, all kinds of economists and heads of the different commercial organizations in Puerto Rico and the leaders, you know, former governors and politicians, everybody and his mother, opining on it, and as I said last week, the consensus is most of the people, not all, but that the reduction in staying the legal litigation has been substantially successful. 12 out of 13 only electricity company and a proposal has been submitted for the electricity company that's in the works. They offered $3 billion out of the 12 to see if it's accepted. We'll see what happens on that. So everybody's kind of in agreement on that portion, but a big disagreement is on the economic development, and the consensus is that the 10 years has helped in stabilizing the financial situation, but nothing of real consequences has happened with respect to the economy. I think in some areas, I think agriculture has improved. It's still tough, and we'll get into that later on. Tourism has improved tremendously. and all. And I think in the manufacturing, despite the very difficult competitive situation that we we're doing pretty well in terms of the manufacturing, and this is the Law 60 has produced a lot of investment in Puerto Rico, so I think you know it's not as bad as the some of the commentators and economists and they're saying, but there's still a sense that you know and it's correct that we're not doing well economically, and we need to do a lot more. And the issue is whether the board failed in that regard, or whether it really didn't have the power and to do it as some people have wanted to be done. I think the better analysis of the reading and my view is that the board really did not have the tools to undertake the kinds of changes in public policy that are necessary. The purse strings is important, but you can only do so much with that. And there was a really one of the better articles was by Gustavo Vélez, and it was dated the 1st of July. It was one of the first articles that came out, and he gives a history as to how we had to put the fiscal board PROMESA into place. And he says outright, he says that the board, different from Washington D.C., which is 1995, in Detroit in 2013. La Junta de Supervisión Fiscal no tenía ni tiene los poderes absolutos para ejecutar los cambios in terms of the changes. So and then our administrations have taken advantage of that lack. Apparently, with Detroit and Washington, the boards that took over really had complete control of the government and the public policy and implementing and restructuring things. So Gustavo Vélez's position is that although we restructured the debt, in terms of restructuring the government, reducing the numbers of agencies and reducing the municipalities and even in the UPR, reducing for example, the different branches that it has and all that nothing really of consequences has taken place. And of course, his article is of all of them, I think, is one of the most pessimistic ones. He says that after the JSF, the promissory, the PROMESA, the fiscal board, has no ha logrado solucionar los problemas que nos llevaron a la quiebra, y las condiciones para un segundo abismo fiscal están más presentes que nunca. So the fiscal board has not achieved, has not resolved the problems that brought us to the bankruptcy, and the conditions for a second fiscal disaster is more present than ever. I put there, wow. I think of all the articles, I think his was the most pessimistic. He has been clamoring that we have not taken the actions that are necessary to reorganize and restructure and to create the tools for economic development going forward. That is, in essence, the issue. I think the board did not have the tools and is not the one, given where it stands, that has to do the work to develop our economy. It has to be, and that was the message last week. It has to be us. We have to do it, and all. There was an article by basically, it was somebody from Indiana, and it was very, very good article. But towards the end, in terms of the solution, he says what we need is a multi-sectorial meeting, getting together to work out a plan. And there I kind of jump because I think like quite a few others have said in their articles on this thing that we don't need more studies. We have studied our situation to death. We need more action. And of course, besides the we have to have the four balanced, audited budgets. We also have to be able to go out to the market, with our bonds at acceptable, reasonable rates. And so those are the two things that have to take place. And hopefully we've come to the stage where we can start, hopefully, doing, accomplishing that. The municipality of San Juan came out with a $354 million bond emission, and basically, successful one, reducing the interest from 13 loans from the 8.5 to 9.5 to a 6.65, which is market rate. So they're able to get their bonds out there, and they've had supposedly balanced budgets for some 5 years and superavits, It can be done. Municipality San Juan's a complicated municipality, and it has accomplished that. So, we can do it if we get to the work. And I think when I get into the topic that I want to end up with, which is getting out of our comfort zone, I think we can go into what needs to be done in that regard. Okay, so we've run out of time in the second segment. This is Jorge Gonzalez Reflections. We'll be right back after the pause.